When you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of our Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Engineering today in a very warm room. We actually had to turn the air conditioner on. That roar you hear in the background is my little portable air conditioner unit running, trying to keep us below about 1,000 degrees in this room.
Well, you know, we're taping this on the first day of spring. Well, according to the
calendar. Well, actually, that's tomorrow.
That's really tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing this all day today on the radio as I've been driving around in my vehicle and wondering, well, okay, I know we had a leap year this year, but that doesn't really push the first day of spring to the 20th.
Not the way it works.
Not really the way it works, because that means we just have an extra day of winter somewhere in there, and that's not good. But anyhow, we are here today. And Chuck and I are both kind of giggling and laughing about this one because, honestly, Charles, this is one of these cases of I told you so.
Yeah, we've been saying this now for, oh gosh, I think since about October of last year, like the first day of our radio show.
Yeah. At least. You know, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is a lot of hand-wringing that's going on the Hill in Washington, D.C. at this point because, as you well know, our capital is split. The Democratic President Barack Obama has been pushing quite a bit of his agenda through with a Democratic-controlled Senate and now a Republican-controlled House for the last 15 months. And so there's a lot of hand-wringing going on over policies. And the biggest hand-wringing going on right now is over the Obama health care law, Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. But the people doing the hand-wringing are not the Democrats who've implemented it, but the Republicans. And why are they wringing their hands? Because they're split over how to repeal it.
Well, I'm going to beg to differ, because what the real split is over whether or not to repeal it.
Yes, well, let's get right down to it. See, that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. We have in Washington, D.C., and the Congress, and this is in both chambers, in the House and the Senate, you have a difference of perspective, I guess is the best way to put this, among Republicans. Now, the Republicans are in the majority in the House, and Speaker John Boehner of Ohio, and we're not necessarily as proud of that as we should be, maybe.
Or maybe he's not as good enough to be proud of. Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're about as proud as we ought to be, which is not at all.
It's not at all. Is looking at this from his unique perspective as a leader. And in the Senate, which is led in the minority, Republicans are in the minority by Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell, they kind of have a different viewpoint on this whole puppy. So what we have right now is two members of the party, one senator and one representative. The senator is Jim DeMint from South Carolina, and the rep is Stephen King from Iowa, who have been screaming at John Boehner. Why? Chuck, explain to them what's going on here, because this is almost too good to be true.
Boehner and company are attempting to keep as much of it intact as they can to match their own personal health care plan. I've been telling people about having gone to a rally that Michelle Bachmann called in 2010, just before this thing passed, in which the hue and cry of the 30,000 people standing on the lawn of the Capitol building in D.C. was, don't pass it at all. And yet John Boehner gets in front of the crowd and says, no, no, make sure you come out in support of my plan. And he gave us the bill number, and I went home and downloaded it. And of course, what it was instead of being 2,700 pages, it was about 200 pages. So it was about 10% of the Obama plan. But of course, what it was, instead of giving us the entire golem, Boehner's plan gave us the skeleton on which we would hang flesh later in incremental stages.
Or clay, as it would be if everybody
on a golem.
Knows that
yeah.
old movie.
The old story of the golem, right. The old Jewish legend. But the fact is, what's going on here is now we're having trouble because the argument is whether over to repeal it piecemeal or repeal it in one big chunk. Because the King and company are saying, basically, if you repeal it piecemeal, you give everybody
political
cover.
That's right. And, you know, King and DeMint are absolutely correct.
Yes.
If you start trying to just whittle little pieces off of this, then you've got people who can thump their chest during election time and say, I voted to repeal Obamacare. Well, right. No, you really didn't. You voted to repeal a little section of it that was probably dysfunctional to start with. And the one that they're talking about repealing right now that Boehner's trying to work on, and he's hoping to get Democrat support, but I don't think he's going to get there now, is the Independent Payment Advisory Board. Yeah, you don't know anything about it either. Neither did we. Because it's one of the myriad in the 2,700 plus pages of this bill. It's one of those myriad, as I believe our declaration called it, basically the swarms of
officers
that eat out our substance.
Sent hither to eat out our substance.
Yeah. So basically, it's another unelected bureaucracy that will have partial control over your entire life. Now, okay, so everybody's saying, so what's the problem? Why don't we get rid of it? Well, the whole point is, ladies and gentlemen, if you just carve out a little bit of the cancer, can you really say that you've healed the body? No, because what you've just done is you've just taken care of the thing that was pressing against the nerve, but you've left the rest of the tumor in there to metastasize, and that's exactly what's happening with Obamacare. We'll take out the little objectionable things like this independent payment advisory. Right. Maybe we'll even get rid of the death panels. We'll certainly get rid of the abortion mandate on the contraceptive coverage, and we'll knock all these little things off so that way all the people who vote, including liberal Democrats, can parade around as pro-life, pro-family, pro-individual liberties when it comes to election time.
Well, let's look at why that's a bad strategy. Where would the Catholic bishops be now? Would they be crying in their soup right now had they stood with us in 2010 and said, well, as long as we get our exemption, we're okay with it?
That's right. If it hadn't been over the Stupak Amendment and the whole abortion rider issue where basically it was like, okay, give us this and then we're going to be quiet on the rest of the bill, we wouldn't have to be dealing with the abomination called Obamacare. We wouldn't have had a vote here in Ohio to put into our Constitution a provision that basically says you can't force a health care mandate on us, which honestly, we'll see how that's going to hold up. They're already challenging it on various issues to start with.
It's toothless.
It is. It really is going to be. Now, that's no disrespect to all the folks who worked on that particular issue.
Right.
But your big key problem is you've got people like Ohio House Speaker, the U.S. House Speaker from Ohio, John Boehner, whose only goal is to see how much of it we can salvage. And he's just going to carve it up, carve little bits and pieces off of it so that they can go out and they can parade that they're actually doing something about the runaway Obamacare. Now, I thought it was interesting, this one, Chuck, because what he's trying to do was he was going to get rid of this board, but then he was going to turn around, because that's supposedly a cost-cutting board. It's supposed to keep Medicare costs down. So how are we going to pay for it? Oh, he's going to pay for it by capping medical malpractice damages. Now, everybody wants tort reform, and that's great.
Yeah.
But the whole point is the cure worse than the disease in this respect?
Well, look, I mean, let's face it. One of the only ways that you have to punish bad doctors is to force them to pay higher malpractice fees because they're bad doctors.
Well, and that's the case, too. Now, we all know that there, you know, lawsuits are running away. And so, in one sense, I applaud Speaker Boehner for trying this. But the key is, by doing it this way, he's guaranteed that they're not going to get any Democrats to come across and vote on this. But honestly, ladies and gentlemen, that's okay. Because, really, these are all just theatrics and window dressing. John Boehner knows full well that if you want to stop this thing in its tracks, the House is the place to do it. He's the man who can control it. And all he has to do is, when that budget comes, he just puts big goose eggs in every appropriations line dealing with Obamacare.
And if you'll recall, he had his chance to do that.
Yes, he did. And he punted.
And boy, he didn't just punt. Let's put it this way. He threw the ball directly into the defense's hands on purpose.
As they're crossing the goal line, yes.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't just score a touchback. He threw the ball completely away and then blocked his own guys from tackling the guy before he crossed the goal line.
Yes.
They could have the easy way to kill Obamacare is to vote it zero funding. And
even that is a compromise, Chuck. And I'm just going to be quite honest about it, because first and foremost, the best way to kill Obamacare is for the Congress to come back and say, oh, we actually read the Constitution. It looks like we do not have any authority to do this. So that law is now null and void on the face of it. In other words, just totally repeal it and point to the Constitution, because Article 1, Section 8 doesn't give them any control over health care. Article 1, Section 9 doesn't prohibit the states from having any control over health care. And the 10th Amendment basically says that if it's not specifically delegated to the federal government, to the Congress, or prohibited by the Constitution to the states, it's left to the states and to the people, respectively.
And that's right. And health care is not a right. No. It is a service. And like all other services, it is the individual's right to choose how much he's going to pay for it, where he's going to get it, and if he is unable to pay for it, it's his right to negotiate or to seek help from those who can help him pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something that is handed down from on high. This is an attempt to make the state into God, to be the provider of all things. And this is one of the things that why Christians need to be involved in politics. We keep hearing why there's no reason why any Christian should be involved in politics. Guess what, folks? When the state tries to step in, when Christians step out and allow the state to step in and try to be the church and be God himself, then this is what you get.
It is. It's exactly what you get.
Yeah.
And this is the pagan view of government.
Exactly.
The state is divine and that it's going to take care of all your needs because its power is unlimited.
Right.
But that's not what our founders left us. They left us a document that limited the power and reach of a federal government. Now, there were some of the founders who were looking more for a consolidated type of government, which honestly, you read that as fascism when you read the Federalist Papers, because that's what it was, where they wanted government to control all aspects of life. They wanted everything consolidated into a federal government with energy and vigor. And I believe those were the words of Alexander Hamilton. That's right. Hamilton's view of what the government should be, and Barack Obama is truly Hamiltonian in the way he's moving this forward.
Well, let me put it this way. Even Hamilton recognized that there were limits to federal authority. And just to say something nice about Alexander Hamilton that I don't do a lot of, the fact is even he recognized limits to federal authority and said so in writing things about, like, for instance, when he was made general in chief of the army and he was asked if he was going to be able to use the army to march anywhere the president wanted him to. And he said essentially, absolutely not. The president has no authority beyond consulting Congress. I will go where the president orders me after he has consulted Congress first.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that on a previous program, too, where the administration's decided they don't need to consult Congress to send their military might anywhere they feel like, including into your backyard. But I think it's interesting here because this came up as an article in the Hill newspaper, which is one of the Capitol Hill dailies, and in this article, they talked about the fact that there were some conservative groups have been sending letters to Majority Leader Eric Cantor and to Boehner, and saying that this whole idea of repealing just a little portion of Obamacare is very misguided in their terms, and basically saying that, you know, this legislation is part of a troubling trend to break off the worst portions of Obamacare for individual votes, which muddies the water in this election year between those who are adamantly opposed to Obamacare and those who want to see its implementation. So in other words, people who really want to see Obamacare implemented can vote for these little bits and pieces to be repealed, knowing it's not going to have a major impact on the actual administration of the package itself, so that they look like they're all in favor of individual liberty, but they're really in favor of expanded socialism.
And really, if McConnell and Boehner don't realize this, then they have no business sitting in the offices they sit in. Because if they don't understand the political realities, and this is a political reality, people are going to use this as cover.
Well, absolutely. But then that's the reason why we started this by saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road can get you there.
That's
and
it.
Honestly, John Boehner and Mitch McConnell don't know where they're going.
No.
They say they want to repeal Obamacare, but all they're doing is entrenching it deeper and deeper by giving people cover who should be exposed.
And that's the bottom line, Barry. That's why we do the show. We're here to expose those who refuse to do their jobs and expose those who need to go. Now, honestly, McConnell, I always laugh. There was a big attack on McConnell during the last election cycle when he got reelected that he was too conservative for his district in Kentucky. And I'm like, wow, Mitch McConnell is too conservative? On whose scale?
Well, you know, some people will probably argue that. But the key is Mitch McConnell got a taste of it because his issue that they decided, well, we're going to focus on the economy and gas prices and we're just going to put the repeal ideas off to the side of the table. Well, he got 2.3 million activists calling and emailing his offices, basically saying they're going to call for his resignation if he doesn't bring this front and center.
Well, what they need to do is get down to Kentucky and work for his recall.
And that would be the key. But that's citizen action.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're asking you guys to do, is become involved, inform citizens, get involved in this. And when you see things that are happening like this and your elected officials are doing the wrong thing, go after them. But if you see them doing the right thing and making votes for right purposes, give them some praise.
Yes. Write them a letter. Say thank you.
I think that Steve King and Representative Steve King and Senator Jim DeMint earned some kudos for bringing this to the attention of the public and exposing some of the machinations that go on behind caucus doors that are geared toward letting you think they're doing something when they know all they're doing is giving themselves cover.
Right. And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.